You know, when I saw them going up there, I almost jumped up and joined in, as there were so many of them that would hide my inability to sing. But I could be with them. But I thank the Lord for that singing this morning and for all of the good music this morning. And I just want to remind you to pick up these. Now, brother, we got a service tonight mainly dedicated to youth. But if that table still has all these on there, I will preach another 45 minutes afterwards. So that's up to you. It's your decision. But we need to get these out. Amen. They don't need to be out there. Need to get them out. Pray for the service this coming Sunday. And again, it's a new time of 10 o'clock instead of because of the longevity of the service. And I want you to take your Bibles, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 13. And beginning this morning, look at verse 14. I am beginning a series on the life of David. We just completed a series on the life of Joseph. I love Bible characters. There's so much they share with us through God's Word in their life. But as I look here at verse 14 of chapter 13, let's read it. But now thy kingdom, 1 Samuel 13, 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. He's speaking here, Samuel, he's speaking to Saul. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. I want you to notice those words, a man after God's own heart. When you get the pastor, that's what he's got to be, a man after God's own heart. Look with me for a moment. I think about David. David, a man after God's own heart. He certainly failed at times, but he was a man after God's own heart. There was more written about David in the Old Testament than any other Bible character, 66 chapters, not counting 59 references to David in the New Testament. So certainly God had a lot to say about David. Let me say that he was a man after God's own heart. I want you to notice first that phrase, a man, and then after God's own heart. A man. Think with me. Just a man. Just a man. Aren't you glad that God's used just a man? Twice Job was told by God in Job 38, verse 3 and 40, verse 7, God said, gird up the loins of thy man. Be a man. Be a man. Also in 1 Kings chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 2, David said to Solomon, show thyself a man. Show thyself a man. Be a man. God was looking for that man. Think with me. I'd like to take those three letters of that word man for a few moments. M-A-N. What is a man? Take each of those letters. A man is one who makes God a priority in his life. That's what a real man is. A real man is a person who makes God a priority in his life. I think it in Matthew 6 and verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Seek thee what? First. God must become a priority. He makes God a priority in his life. A, he accepts his circumstances as coming from God. Everything that happened. I remember as we dealt with David or with Joseph, when he quoted to his brother, you thought evil against me, but God meant it into good. God is in charge. Man is one who makes God a priority. M-A, he accepts God's circumstances as in his life. And N, he needs God's presence in his life. More than anything else, he cries for God's presence. He needs it. I was thinking, if you'll just leave that portion for just a moment and go with me to the book of Job and look there at the last chapter of the book of Job. And I often have read this and overlooked this often, but the Lord pointed it out to me not too long ago. Chapter 42. Here is Job after God has appeared to him to say, Job, be a man. Be a man, Job. Twice he said it to him. And then he makes a statement here. Job makes a statement about God. He says in verse 5, I have heard of thee, talking to God, by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. He had saw. Now, he didn't see God physically or spiritually, but the very thought of God, God was presence with him. My prayer for every service that I pray, that I preach in, is that God's presence will be here. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through a day without sensing the very presence of God. Now, you ladies, we talk mainly about a man this morning. You're the woman. Somebody put those, said, whoa, man. Men need to slow down, listen to their wives. How many of you wives think your husband needs to slow down and listen to what you have to say? Let me see your hand. Oh, come on, ladies, you know you mean that. But anyway, he's a man. He's a man, just a man. Whoever your preacher will be, your deacons, your leaders, your Sundays, they're all just men and women. But notice here, after God's own heart. Go back to our passage rather quickly there. Look at verse 14 again of chapter 13. Let's read the verse again, at least up till we get to that text about after his own heart. But now thy kingdom, referring to Saul, shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Own heart. Now, what is a heart that's after God? I'm going to say three things about a heart. I want you to know, to have a heart after God is, number one, it's got to be a spiritual heart. It's got to be a heart that is in fullness of God's Spirit. Leave that chapter. In order to illustrate that truth, go back to chapter 10 in the same book. A spiritual heart understands and sees the need of the anointing of God. Look over there to chapter 10. We see Saul. See, why would you use Saul as an example? For here was a true failure. Let me say three things about this. Number one, there he had the fullness of God's anointing. Then certainly he had no fresh oil of God's anointing. He never sought again the anointing of God. And thirdly, because of that, we're going to look at he failed. But when I come to this passage in chapter 10, look at verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil. Now underline the word oil. In the Old Testament, oil is symbolic of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. It is simply that which speaks of the fullness of his anointing. Now, you might want to write this by there, but I'm going to turn to my New Testament for a moment, all the way to the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, and I just want you to see this in verse 19. Now, what does it mean to have the fullness of his anointing? What does it mean? Look here in chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 9. Let me read it to you. And now the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when I sin and I get right with God, I'm filled with the Spirit. But to be filled, this special filling from God, where you are filled with all the fullness of God, there is no room for the flesh. There is no room for failure. There is no room for fear, because the Spirit of God has taken over and you have literally have the anointing of God's Spirit upon you. I hope you seek the anointing of God's Spirit yourself. I thought about the ministry over here that has taken place with Amazing Grace and others. They need the fresh anointing of God. You need that. I thank the Lord we can have it. But look here. You have here some thoughts on this. Look with me, if you will, please, in verse 10 of chapter 6, or chapter 10. Verse 6 in chapter 10. A spiritual heart. Notice here in verse 10, here's three things. I want you to know what it means to be filled with the fullness, all the fullness of God. Look what he says. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with him, and here's the text I want you to see, and shall be turned into another man. Underline that. God is going to change your behavior when you're filled with the fullness of God's Spirit. Your whole behavior changes. Are you listening to me? I want you to get that. God changes your behavior when you're filled with the fullness of God. You don't say the things you would if you didn't have that. You don't do the things as well. A change of behavior. To be filled with all the fullness of God. There's no room, as I said, for the flesh, for failure, for fear. It's a change of behavior. Secondly, look there, if you will, please. Again, if you will here, look at verse 7. And let it be, when the signs are come upon thee, thou do, get this, that thou do as occasion serve thee. Underline that thought. Thou do as occasion to serve thee. In other words, you are not only a change of behavior when you're filled with the fullness of God, but there is a choice to do right. In other words, as the occasion serves you, when you have the opportunity to do what God wants you to do, you do it. Not only a change of behavior, but certainly it is a choice. Someone said it well when he said, there's two decisions on the shelf. One is God and one is self. Make the right decision. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you make that right decision in life that God, when all those things, look what the verse says here in verse 7, thou do as occasion serve thee. In other words, when God puts something before you to do, you do it. You do it. I had a fellow tell me one time, he said, I pray whether I should go to church or not. That's called baloney. You don't need to pray whether you go to church or not. You just get up and do it because the occasion is there. The occasion is there. You don't just get up in the morning and say, I'll think about pray. You pray because the occasion is there. You read your Bible because the occasion is there. You hand out gospel tracts. Why? Because the occasion is there. You witness because the occasion is there. And you're convicted. Have you ever failed to give a tract to somebody or talk to somebody about the Lord and it convicted you? That means you were filled with the fullness of God because you knew you should have done it. Thirdly, to have a spiritual heart is not only to be a change of behavior. Not only a choice to be made, but he gives you a channel through which God will bless you. Look down there, if you will, in verse 9. Oh, how important that verse is. It was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, would you get these words? God gave him another heart. God gave him another heart. There was not only a change of behavior, a choice to do the right thing, but there is a channel God provided for you to accomplish those things. He gives you another heart. I think we all need heart transplants. We all need them. You say, why? Well, there's a reason for that. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and what? Desperately wicked. Who can do? Your heart comes out of it and just is full of wickedness. My heart is full. And when I am filled with the Spirit, as though God gives me another's heart, his heart, to do what I need to do, say what I need to say, be what I need to be. It's not my heart. It's God's heart. Because God takes over. Now think with me. When to be the fullness of his Spirit. It is be filled with all the fullness, no room for self, no room for these things. But I want you to leave that for just a moment and turn to the Psalms. And I want you to go to Psalm 92, if you will, please. And I want you to underline a verse here, verse 10 of chapter 92. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Would you get these words? I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Now, I want to say this. Sometimes in our walk in life, we lose that anointing. We're going to see that in a moment. God says you need to have a fresh anointing of God on you. I know we'll forget when I took my first church over, my first church now 50 years ago, seemed like only yesterday. I was a young kid. I'm still young. I'm only none of your business. But anyway, I'm 78 this another week. But anyway, I would never forget that that I had those people. I was telling Sunday school, started a church with that church with 15 members, 15 non-members, and the 15 non-members believed that you didn't sin after you were saved. Whew. They met me at the door, said, "Preacher, we like you, but we want you to know we don't believe we've sinned after we got saved." I said, "Well, you just did. You lied." And I thought, "Lord, what am I going to do?" And I needed a fresh anointing of God's Spirit. Are you listening to me? A fresh anointing of God's Spirit. Our church was on a dead end. I don't forget it because, literally a dead end, because at the other end was a cemetery. So I went up to that, so I told Marilyn, I said, "Marilyn, honey, I'll be gone for several hours." And I went up there and I walked around with my hands up praising God, say, "God, help me. I don't know what to do. I need a fresh anointing of you, God, upon me. I don't know how to pastor this church. I don't know what to do. I got 15 people in there that don't, they're not members, and they're not members because they don't believe doctrinally correct. And Lord, you got to help me overwhelm that. And you got to do it, Lord, not me." I know I'll forget it as I walked around the tombstones. And I just walking and praying, and sometimes I look at tombstones like this. I had no idea that the guy who took care of the cemetery was there. And he belonged to the First Church of the Deep Freeze, the local liberal church in town. And he went back to his church. He said, "You wouldn't believe that young, crazy Baptist preacher. He's talking to the dead there. He goes around to this tombstone and this tombstone." Listen, I wasn't talking to the dead. I was talking to the living God. Well, some of them, you know how gossip goes, don't you? They began to gossip among me. So I had people from their church and other churches come to find out what kind of a crazy guy I was and got saved. We overwhelmed that crowd. God did it. Fresh anointing of God. Because I knew if I didn't have it, I couldn't pastor this church. And you've got to come to the place in your life that you say, "Listen, God, I can't do what I'm doing without a fresh anointing of God." But I want you to notice something. Go back here. This time, go to 2 Samuel. And go to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Because a spiritual heart is a heart that has the fullness of his anointing. But he did, but in a fresh anointing, you got to have a fresh anointing. Well, I'm not going to turn there right now. I'm sorry. I'll get there in a moment. Just stick with me. But you know something? We read Psalm 23, "The Lord anointeth my head with oil." Now, why David was many things. He was a psalmist. He was a soldier. He was a sovereign king. But you remember what he started out? As a shepherd. Psalm 23. I like that psalm, don't you? "The Lord is my shepherd." Remember about the little girl who read that one Sunday and said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. That's all I need, who he is." But why did the shepherd would always carry a flask of oil when he sighed. He used that oil for three different reasons. Ready for this? Do you know what a fly, how many have ever been bothered? I tell you, the other day I was eating and this fly kept bothering me. I mean, that thing came after me, and when I went to swat him, he'd leave again. He'd come back, he'd leave again. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm trying to eat my meal and the fly wants to eat it with me. The first one is because of the fly. A fly would land on that sheep's head and work its way up into the nose and lay its lava, its eggs up in there, and literally it would kill the sheep. He would fall over because of that lava into the brain area. So what'd he do when he'd see that? And by the way, because of the matted manure and everything else, those flies would swarm around that head of that sheep, and a shepherd come along, take that oil, and rub it on the head, and guess what? No flies. Mel, you know familiar with the name of Beelzebub? The name means fly god. A name given to the devil. And the devil is like a fly. The devil, listen to me, the devil is nothing. little fly compared to our great God. But if you don't have the anointing of the Spirit of God, that little fly will destroy your Christian life. That's the first thing. Second reason why they would do it would be because that would be important. And then before I did that, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to illustrate this. And that little fly would get up in there, and it would, listen to me, the devil wants to get up in our mind. You listening to me? Get into our mind. It's like that little fly. And I want you to notice something over here in 2 Corinthians 10. I want you to see verse 4 and 5. Now look at this. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare. Now you got some weapons, folks. You know what you have your weapons are today? Blessed Holy Spirit of God is one of them. And the Holy Scriptures is the other. You got some weapons today that will defeat the old fly god. He says here in the text, he says this, he says, and for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? Mighty through God. A little fly may irritate you, but God can get rid of it as it tries to destroy your life. By the way, don't you dare minimize little sins. That's our problem as Baptists. We don't commit adultery. We're not drunkards. And so, listen, it's those little things, those little flies that get up into your thought life and can destroy you. Now here he says, look in verse 4. He's saying to us, take back the mind. Take back the mind. That's what he meant. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The pulling down of stronghold. The word pulling down here means to simply destroy, to demolish. Now, I don't know about you, but listen, if we're not careful, we have problems in our thought life. Yes, you do. Whatever it may be. It may be lust. It may be bitterness. It may be fill in the blank in your thought life. God is saying in this text, listen to me, he is saying, take back the mind. Take it back. Doesn't belong to that fly. God. Doesn't belong to him. Then he says, not only you take back, but you tear down the imagination. Look here in verse 5. Casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge. Just cast them down. You ever talk to yourself? I do it all the time. I don't know about it. Matter of fact, I got a Psalm 42. He said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in God. And I tell my imagination, you don't think on those things. And I call on the blessed Spirit of God, that anointing. Take those minds, things away from me. I had a person say to me one day, said, I worry so much that sometimes at night I carry a pencil and a pad next to my bed because if I forget the things I worry about, I can write it down. The fly got to them. The fly got to them. Not only are we to take back the mind, we're to tear down the imaginations, but we're to turn the mind over to God. He says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Turn it over to him. It's not the fly's mind. It's God's mind. We need to turn it over. We need to take back, tear down, and turn over to him those things in our mind. We need to recognize. Now, here's a second reason why they'd have to anoint that sheep with oil. Because there would be infection. The shepherd would take his rod, and he would part the wool if he found the scab. He knew that scab could be an infection. That would kill the sheep, too. So he had put oil on that, and it would be needed to heal so the infection wouldn't kill it. Third is friction. You know, sheep are like Baptists. Sometimes they never got along. Hello? They just, and if he saw two sheep butting heads, you know what he'd do? He'd put oil on each of those heads and go, boom, glance right off. The Holy Spirit can do that. I'm going to tell you, I reminded of a fella who was rescued from an island. He had been there for 20 years. A ship came along and rescued him. The only one on the island. The captain said, boy, I'm glad you came. He said, but you're the only one here? He said, yeah. He said, what are those three huts? He said, well, that first one's where I live. Oh, that's great. What's the second? He said, that's where I go to church. He said, what's the third one? He said, that's where I used to go to church. He couldn't even get along with himself. He needed an anointing of God's blessed Spirit of God to prevent the friction. There's another reason. Think with me today, or another thought here. What's to have a heart, have God's heart? It's to have a spiritual heart. It's also to have a seeking heart, where you're seeking after the things of God. Look over there, if you will. Let me read this verse. Psalm 69 and verse 2. Your heart shall live that seek God. Psalm 69, 32. Your heart shall live that seek God. You know, we got a lot of hearts that are dying in our churches. They're just not. Listen, let's have life in our church. Let's get enthused about the things of God. Let's not sit like we're a bunch of dead people. Let's get excited. Let's believe God. That's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit will do. That's what He'll do. And I'm thankful for it. You know, there are three texts. And when I think of the seeking God's heart, will take solitude. You know, David spent many, many, many nights out with the sheep, just he and the sheep. You know what he'd do? Meditate. Solitude. There are three verses that I want to give you when I think of that. Here it is. Be still, stand still, and sit still. Solitude. You know, today the Bible tells us that in the latter days, Daniel describes, he said, people be running what? To and fro. You know why? I have no time for God. No time. You know why people like noise? They don't have to listen to themselves. They like noise. We need to turn our TVs off, all this other, and just listen to God. Get the mind of God. Turn with me to some of these references I think about them. Turn with me to Psalm 46. It's the one I want to give you. Psalm 46. Look there in verse 10. Thinking of the stillness that we all need here. Think with me in Psalm 46. Look at it. Be still. You know what the word still here means in this text? It means to literally abandon everything else so you're thinking about nothing but God. That's hard to do in this generation. People don't want to do that. Young people want to have the TV on or want to have the player, whatever, some advice. I want to listen. Listen, we need to come to the place in our life where we say, be still. Abandon everything else. That's what it means to be, have the anointing of God's oil. And what? Know that I am God. He said here, be still. That's meditation. And know that I am God. That's illumination. Get your thoughts on God. And then he says here, I will be exalted among the heathen. That's exaltation. And then I will be exalted in the earth. That's glorification. That refers to when Jesus Christ will come back. You know, I think a lot of people are worried about heaven. Here's what they're worried about. It's going to be too boring. God, the devil's got a lot of people convinced heaven's going to be too boring. You know why? Because they're going to be there with God forever and ever. And they haven't been thinking about him. That's not on their thoughts. God help us to be anointed with fresh oil. I want you to know here, a seeking heart. A seeking heart. You need fresh oil. Now turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 1. Turn there with me. I want you to see this. This is a eulogy. I never forget the little boy sitting next to his mama. Daddy died and preacher was up there. He was given a eulogy. He said all these wonderful things about his daddy. He turned to mama. He said, mama, are you sure that's daddy in that casket? That's not the daddy he remembered. But God gives an honest eulogy here. And I want you to see here, David has given a eulogy about King Saul. And I want you to go all the way down in this eulogy to verse 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is violently cast away. The shield of Saul, as though he what? Had not been anointed with oil. He never sought that fresh oil. You see, the sheep would rub that oil off their head by butting at one another, eating grass, whatever they're doing, and they had to have that fresh. Listen, when's the last time you had a fresh anointing of God? Come down upon me, O God, and do something for the glory of God. You know what the shield is? I believe the shield's the Holy Ghost here and the Holy Scriptures. Boy, they're the shield. And God would just kill that little fly or a big fly or whatever it may be. Hey, not only is what is to have a heart of God? To have a spiritual heart, have a seeking heart, and finally, here, to have a servant heart. Not just a spiritual heart, not only just a heart here of seeking, but a servant heart. You know, I'm praying for whoever comes. I'm praying more than anything else, he'll be a servant. He's not that. He ain't worth it. I'm not worth it. Brother Lashley wouldn't be worth it. He wasn't a servant. We're not that. Forget it. Daniel, that's what it's all about. Being a servant for God. Proverbs 11, verse 2 said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. God help us. A servant heart is a humble heart. It's a humble heart. You know what the word, think of that word pride. It's a terrible word. It's a word which calls Lucifer, a beautiful angel, to become a demon. Pride. Let me take each of those letters for a quick moment. Because God is looking for people to have a servant heart. A heart that is a humble heart. Take each of those letters. What is pride? P-R-I-D-E. What is it? P is placing yourself in charge of self. That's what it is. Placing yourself in charge of self. And when you do that, the R is rebelling against all authority, beginning with God. Nobody going to tell me what to do. Nobody. One day you'll stand before God and regret any of that, whether it be words or actions or thoughts, because you cannot rebel against God. And we have a country of total rebellion. I don't know what you think of the political realm today, but if it's illegal for other people to come out of country, if they don't do it the right way, that's rebellion. Call it what you want. That's not politics. That's rebellion. We're supposed to obey the law. Obey the law. I was at a stop sign or at a red light not too long ago, and you turn right, of course, but the light said, do not turn right on red. I waited. Guy behind me, beep, beep. He wanted me to go ahead. I didn't do it. But I wish that where was a policeman when I need one. I had a guy tell me, he said, I don't pay attention to those things. I just go, if their traffic's clear, no, you obey the law. See, that's our problem. We don't want to obey the law in our country today. It's placing yourself in charge of self. It's rebelling against all authority, and I becomes the purpose for living. My life's all about me. It's all about what I want, all what I want to do. We have so many brats in our country today. Benefactors of Relaxed Adult Training, BRAT. And Christian, listen to me. You're a child of God, and God doesn't raise brats. Learn to obey. It's not about you. It's all about Him. D, it denies wrongdoing. I'm reminded of a lady was watching a parade, and her boy was in the parade, and there had been about 30 in that parade, and she pumped to the guy next to her, and she said, "Look at that. Everybody's out of step but my son. Look at that. Isn't that terrible? Everybody but my son's out of step." Denies wrongdoing. We have that today, don't we? That's pride. E, it ends in tragedy. Tragedy will take place. As I close, when we go through the life of David, we'll see a servant heart not only is humble, but in helping others. So I thought of Mephibosheth. If you won't take time to turn to it, but in 2 Samuel 9, we're going to get to that eventually. Remember when Jonathan's son, David becomes king. By the way, when a new king took over, you know what he did? First thing he do is execute everybody who's related to the former king. That was the custom of the day. He says, "Is there anyone?" He said, "Yeah, there's Mephibosheth. He's a nobody. He lives in poverty." He said, "I want to take that nobody and make him into somebody for God." That's what a servant is. That's why you have the bus minister, Brother Lashley. These kids, I'm going to say it as nicely as I can, to most people, they're a bunch of nobodies. I don't forget when we built a 1,000-seating auditorium in Santa Maria, California. We had bus ministry. People come and say, "Now, what are these kids going to do to these pews?" I said, "I don't care. Their soul is more important than these pews." Matter of fact, I get so excited, I can't do it anymore, can't get up on them. I just climb on pews myself. Walk the pew. I'm sure he's done that too, Brother Lashley. I mean, that's okay. But there came a place, I get up there, can't get down. But I'm thankful that we have ministry to reach souls for Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Mephibosheths out there. They're a bunch of nobodies. But if you're anointed with the Spirit of the living God, you have a burden for them. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord, do a work in our heart. With our heads bowed. In our Spirit of God. A man. Is God a priority in your life? Are you accepting the circumstances that God has brought into your life? Whatever they may be. If you say, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." You don't sense the presence of God. Maybe this morning when we stand, would you come find a place, a door, and say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, anoint me. Anoint my heart. Anoint me this morning. Only you can do it, Lord. And Lord, I got some problems with my thought life. Oh God, I want the Holy Ghost to take back my mind. I want you to tear down those images, and I want to turn that mind over to you. God dealing with you." This morning, if you need fresh oil, I had to go up there that day and get fresh oil, and God did a wonderful thing. Oh, we need a fresh anointing of God as we stand together, our heads bowed. The Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm God." I didn't deal with the other two. Exodus, stand still and see the salvation of God. Ruth said, also, sit still. See what God's going to do. We need a stillness in our hearts today. But as Daniel leads our song here this morning, God, deal with your heart. It's cold. You need a fresh anointing of God this morning. There's an altar for you. As he sings, would you come?
All to Jesus.
All to him. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you're not sure you're saved. God brought you here this morning to be saved. If there's anyone here that's not saved, I'll pray for you. Would you lift that hand up and say, God spoke to my heart this morning. I need to be saved. Would you hold that hand up and say, God, deal with me. Anyone like that? Oh, God, come fall upon me this morning. I need that fresh oil from heaven. I've grown cold. I've grown stale. I've lost the oil, the power of God in my life. The presence of God is no longer sense in my life. We'll sing one more stanza. I don't beg for people to come. I want God to do that, or I want it to happen. You need to come this morning.
Jesus, I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me.
I surrender. You hold Him back this morning? I surrender.
I surrender.
Is that what God's saying to you?
All to Jesus. My blessed Savior, I surrender.
All right.
All.
I'm going to make three announcements that need to be made, and I'm going to have Danny Jenkins come up here and close in prayer. I want you to be here tonight. Encourage your teens to be here tonight. It's a very important tonight as young people give their testimony what God's doing. Take your card to the Welcome Center. Visitor, get your packet, your gift that is to you, and we want you to get that. And then pick up some of the birthday invitations. What did I say earlier? I'll just preach an extra 45 minutes tonight if those are not out there. How many believe me tonight? Morning, let me see your hands. You believe I'd do that? Uh-oh. Rest of you are in trouble. Okay, all right. I want to do something this morning as we close our service. We're going to have Danny come. We're not going to do everything that we've done because our crowd is so large in the morning. Thank God for that. But I'd like for you, if you'd like to come this morning, just with our heads bowed again, maybe come and find a place here, not for a fresh anointing, but say, I want to pray for this pulpit committee. And if you need to come up front or someplace, not everybody can come, but maybe this morning as you just leave your seat a moment, just come on down here, whether you're, say, God, I want to be part of this. I want God to anoint me with fresh oil. But Lord, I'm praying for our pulpit committee. God will do a work. They need our prayers. Kneel if you can. I don't kneel much anymore. I can't get back up. I don't know why Larry did. I don't know if he can get back up. She'll help him up, okay. But I just want you to come, and Danny will close in prayer as we come and asking God to do a work in our hearts this morning. Wanting God to just, they got a tremendous task. I believe God has the one out there already selected. We're just going to pray God to work it out to come here. So Danny, would you come and then pray over this thought of our deacons and then close in prayer. Thank you.
That we've heard, and Father, how we need your anointing. God, how we pray for that anointing on our lives, God, that we would be pleasing unto you. And Father, we do come this morning praying for our church. Dear God, pray that you would just put us under your wings, dear God, that you would wrap your arms around us, Lord, and that you would help us, dear God, as we search for this man. And like Brother Stephen said, that man, God, you've got that man out there somewhere. And Lord, we pray that you'll lead us to him. And Lord, as the pulpit committee dear God, to find that man, may you give us wisdom, understanding, clarity, dear God, that we've never known. And Father, we're just men. We're nothing special, Father, but you can use us. And God, I pray that you will. I pray you'll touch this church, touch this people, and God, that you'll touch us and our hearts. Thank you again for your blessings to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.